This is a Siva podcast.
Yeah, so welcome. My name is Nikolaus Hirsch. I'm the artistic director of Siva, and it's my great and immense pleasure to speak with Emmanuel Chiappone Piriou, the curator of the upcoming and new exhibition at Siva called Superstudio Migrazioni. Emmanuel, why Superstudio? Why is Superstudio, a radical architectural group from the 1960s and 70s coming from Florence, why is this group relevant today? In the early 2020s, like 50 years apart, in the midst of a really epic crisis, whether you think of it environmentally, politically, racially, economically, and so forth. So what, in your perspective, is relevant, or what is the relevance of Superstudio today, and what is the kind of architectural role model that they represent?
Well, thank you, Nikolaus, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be speaking about the exhibition with you. It is quite uncanny, actually, when you look at Superstudio's oeuvre today, to see how strongly it resonates with the times that we're living. And obviously, every oeuvre has its own autonomy. It is inscribed and it is born, it emerges in a specific political, artistic, intellectual context. But Superstudio's oeuvre, which, as you said, was initiated in the 60s and continued throughout the 70s, really appears today as still having something to tell us about the world we live in. And this, I think, has to do, obviously, with the strength, the power of the images they have produced, with the power of the ideas they have proposed, obviously. And also when you encounter the work physically, when you see the photomontages, when you see the beautiful images they have produced, you cannot but be taken by them. But I think also Superstudio really was at a turning point in the 20th century, one that sees the end of the what in French is called the Trente Glorieuses, so the prosperous after war that saw a very frantic industrialization, the reconstruction of Europe mainly, and a strong belief in progress. And Superstudio really comes at the end of that era and at the beginning of what would then be called postmodernism. And in a way, they are already approaching topics that are still crucial today. That is, for example, the quantitative logics of our productive system and the inequalities they produce, or the absurdity of said system. Also, for example, the what was at the time nascent, but also quickly growing ecological concern. You have to keep in mind that in 1972, there was the Club of Rome Limits of Growth study, and Superstudio was very early on interested in those topics and was addressing them in a very direct manner. Also, they were, I think, driven by a very strong interest in techniques, and they had a very fine understanding of the crucial transformations that computation and communication technologies were bringing about in the world in which they lived. That is a world that was, in a way, becoming globalized, I guess, through economic forces, through technological forces, and through, as I was saying, this newly born ecological concern.
I think it's interesting that in what you say, this seems to be somehow at odds or in conflict with a kind of traditional understanding of what architects do.
Yeah,
because you rarely refer to a building, because I guess in most people's eyes and perception, architecture is about building. And what's obvious in Superstudio's work is, and it's also apparent in the exhibition, you hardly see the kind of traditional design of a building, although you see some buildings, but globally speaking, you somehow see a different understanding of what architects do and what architecture is. So I think there's a new definition, not only in Superstudio's work, but also in that time, when you think about people like also Hans Holbein, which you also show in the exhibition, and also earlier on, people like Constant and Jonah Friedman, or the metabolists in Japan. You see, I think there's a much more systemic thinking, where the focus of the object, the architectural object, is not really the focus. And
absolutely,
I think that makes also, at least for me, it's part of the fascination of Superstudio today, and the relevance of Superstudio today is that I think many people are just fed up with this object fixation in architecture. So because we have gone through maybe two or three golden decades for star architecture, like this object-driven architecture, fantastic museums, etc. So there's a really, I wouldn't try to criticize this in terms of the quality of design, because I think there is obviously, if you look at websites, for instance, you see an amazing quality of design, but it's as if the question is wrong.
So,
in that respect, I think that Superstudio asks some of very contemporary questions.
Yeah.
That are very inclusive, that are probably claiming for a role of an architect that's not an isolated figure who's dreaming about fantastic design for a building, but someone who's embedded in a very vast social and political and environmental system.
Yeah, I think what you say is absolutely crucial. It's about the questions that they raise, and not at all about the answers they provide, precisely because it cannot be, Superstudio's understanding of architecture has nothing to do with a problem-solving activity or with an expression that would be bound by disciplinary limits, that would address only its own kind. It's much more than that. So in a way, as you were saying, it had completely abandoned any traditional definition, any building imperative, any idea that architecture was driven by conventions and by professional norms. And I think it is in this respect that the idea that Superstudio has been playing with, which is the death of the architect, has to be understood. It's the death of the architect as it was impersonated at the time. An architect was playing within the game of power and within the economic system that was established. And they were really aiming to provide other ways, really.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating in what you say, that to a certain extent, this death of the architect, or in other words, also the dissolution of what of architecture to a certain extent, also in almost in an understanding also of Mark Wigley's recent book on Konrad Waxman's TV, so that architecture disappears in networks and TVs. So I think it suggests also that Superstudio also had to look for different media. And I think in that respect, it seems as if the medium of the exhibition became quite an important tool to somehow finish with architecture, yet to continue.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is crucial precisely because that death is not a death penalty for architecture. I think in dissolving or destroying architecture, they actually save it in what they consider to be its most fundamental dimension or substance or essence. And maybe to address this question of the exhibitions, I think exhibitions are interesting in Superstudio's story because they are landmarks. So you could actually be telling story about architecture that would about Superstudio, sorry, that would only have to do with their exhibitions. And in a way, you could already give a quite thorough idea of their works and their projects. Superstudio actually took part in many exhibitions, and it's also one of the keys of their success or of their fame. As a small Florentine radical group, they got well known in Europe and abroad, in Japan, in the US, precisely because they took part in exhibitions. So it must be said that they were born out of an exhibition or on the occasion of an exhibition, which is Super Architettura, that is Super Architecture, which took place in 1966 and 1967. It's not well known that there were actually two exhibitions with that same title that they designed with fellow students, fellow architecture students that were friends that they had met in their studies and throughout their political also activity at the time. And those friends would then become the other fundamental radical group, Architzoom. And this exhibition in Pistoia, for the historical anecdote, was actually an exhibition that Adolfo Natalini, one of the two founders of Superstudio, was supposed to have as a painter, because he had a career as a painter before being known as an architect. And he transformed this invitation to actually make it a collective gesture. And by the term exhibition is maybe slightly misleading if one understands the exhibition as a space in which you communicate about projects that are not physically there. What they did is actually they produced an environment, a very sensual, very pop, very expressive, very colored environment made of wood, of painted wood. And you have to imagine that you had furniture pieces that looked like nothing like furniture, but that rather looked like waves, like clouds, like rainbows, and all of that in, as I was saying, very, very crude colors. And you could actually immerse yourself into this environment. And this was really the, let's say, the birth certificate of Superstudio. And then they went on producing projects for exhibitions such as the very famous Monumento Continuo project, which is maybe the most famous project by Superstudio that they designed to enter the Graz Trigon Biennale. They entered the competition with this project, and they were actually selected to then exhibit in Graz in 1969. And you can go on like that. So they took part in several exhibitions with Sotsas in the US, for example, but also the very important 1972 exhibition in MoMA that was curated by Emilio Ambas, which was dedicated to the Italian design and counter-design movement.
Yeah, the new domestic landscape.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
I think coming from these amazing historic exhibitions and also the role of exhibition making as a practice of doing architecture, coming from that to the exhibition that is now on view at SIVA, that you curated together and in dialogue with Cédric Libert, you gave the exhibition the title Migrazioni. Can you tell me a little bit about that choice and the importance of Migrazioni, which I think it's also interesting in the on the cover of the books and or mm-hmm. of the book, there's a pattern of birds, mm-hmm. Which is classically the animals of migration, and because obviously Super Studio is very often associated with grids, with the mm-hmm. Monumento Continuo, for instance. Mm-hmm. So this kind of slick surfaces that run through different contexts, and where you would see half-naked people, etc. But you came up with this title Migrazione, which mm-hmm. I think is a very specific interpretation of Super Studio's work.
Well, yeah, I hope it's an interpretation that also offers a very open, non-linear way to engage with the work. So for the story about the title is actually taken from Super Studio's vocabulary. And as you were saying, there is this flock of birds, which Super Studio titled Migrazione. So that would be the singular form. And together with Giampiero Frassinelli, who was a member of Super Studio, we decided to give it the plural form, Migrazioni. The flock of birds is a study that Super Studio produced in 1969 when they were contacted by the Abbott print firm to produce a bichromatic silk screened pattern to be produced for furniture. And they came up with several studies of geometric patterns, one of which being the grid, which has become the most iconic sign and image of the Super Studio's oeuvre. And the birds were, in a way, the other side of the same coin. The birds and the grids, in a way, are the same image. They are the same project, the same intellectual project. Obviously, Migrazioni is a title that we then used as a prism to engage with the history of the group, which has very often been told as one monolithic history. In reality, the group had one name, Super Studio, that was somehow covering a multiplicity of individualities, of competences, and of imaginaries. Super Studio was very much a form of syncretism and of collective invention, but that, in a way, was extremely plural. And I think also maybe to say a bit more about what can be seen in the exhibition, Super Studio certainly remains for having produced theoretical conceptual projects, but also they did try and actually succeeded in building certain projects. They produced furniture pieces, they produced movies, they produced photomontages, they produced literary texts. So there is a plurality of works. One last thing maybe about the title Migrazione is it's a manner to, as I was saying, try to keep the engagement with the work extremely open and non-linear, and to allow for many different stories to be told about Super Studio. Maybe if you allow me to just cite Giampiero Frassinelli, he wrote a text a couple of years back in which he says that Super Studio's story is a little bit like Kurosawa's Rashomon movie, in which there are different subjective, alternative, and at times contradictory accounts of the same event. And he says that Super Studio is a little bit the same, is that each member told a different story about what they did together. And some of those stories are contradictory, but all of them are true. And I guess with Migrazioni, the attempt is to to offer a way to engage with the work that does not exhaust Super Studio and that does not reduce its oeuvre to certain iconic images or to certain ideas, because it was so much more than that, and extremely ambiguous also to some extent. I think you were rightly saying that Superstudio was asking new questions or had new ways to ask questions to the world. And I guess the projects they produced, the images they produced, the tales they produced have an ambiguity that is still extremely strong today, and that somehow allows to project and to find in Superstudio many different facets.
Yeah, I think it's as you say, this ambiguity and the richness also in terms of the visual language and the complexity. It's really striking when you go through the exhibition, and it also reflects, I think, one of the potentials of architecture in such a great manner, mm-hmm. which is on the one hand certainly to understand architecture still in a kind of, say, functional mindset. Mm-hmm. So there are mm-hmm. tables and drawings of buildings, etc., that refer to a certain functional idea that goes back to Vitruvius. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's obvious that this work is used also as a way to think about the world. And so I think you clearly see a very expanded view of mm-hmm. architecture here. Mm-hmm. It really leaves all the limitations, basically, yeah. of this profession that is also, of course, a historical product. I think mm-hmm. the role of the architect or the profession and discipline of the architect has changed over every decade, every year. And I think this make me think that this exhibition looks, and the work of Superstudio looks, incredibly fresh and contemporary mm-hmm. today in 2021. Mm-hmm. And this is probably because we are again at a certain historic moment where things tend to really dramatic new questions, and that everything is questioned. I think that yeah. in the last year, in 2020, we have witnessed that things that were taken for granted, not only in architecture, but in politics, in how people interact, how things work, all these things were questioned. Mm. And I think we witness a moment where many things also, despite the fact that many things are tragic, mm-hmm. but suddenly many new things seem to be possible. And I think that's really exciting. And this is something that, looking at Superstudio's work, it makes me think really about today, not about mm-hmm. the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I obviously agree with that. And maybe one migration that the exhibition is mostly interested with is the migration of ideas, because fundamentally, throughout the different mediums and forms and projects that they've invented and experimented with, what Superstudio really was aiming at is redefining architecture as an activity of production and dissemination of ideas. I think once you've understood that about their work, about the grid, for example, which is so often understood as a tool of management, of rationalization of the ground or of even of life. Once you've understood that it's rather a manner to engage with life as being fundamentally cerebral, as being fundamentally intellectualized, as being fundamentally abstract, once you've understood that about Superstudio, then you understand that their work, their ideas are by definition in fluxes, in movement, in perpetual exchange and cross-pollination across disciplinary boundaries, across geographical boundaries, and across historical classifications. And I think this today feels very contemporary, and probably, as you say, in 2020, 2021, a time in which our nomadic lives have come to a brutal stop in physical terms. They've somehow still remained in migration when it comes to our intellectual encounters. We can still connect, thanks to technology, across boundaries and exist in this very abstract world of communication and computation and yeah. So I guess for me, this has become strangely contemporary today. Yes,
and that's why we do a radio show.
Absolutely,
which is,
yes.
Which is also, I think, another way of doing architecture. Thank you so mm-hmm. much.
Thank
Manuel,
you, Nicolaus.
For the conversation, and we'll see each other soon in the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Siva podcast.